Good afternoon, folks. It is, or morning, folks. It is 10:05 at your local KSCO AM 1080 station. Stay tuned for the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Hey there, all. Welcome to our... Good. Can you hear me okay? You don't have to fade it down altogether. Just fade it down so it doesn't drown me out. How are you hearing me? Hearing me okay? Okay. Great. So, just turn it up. Just turn it up. Turn up the volume. Turn up the volume. Okay. That was a little late, but that's okay. All right. Listen, we're training a new future fabulous KSCO board op. His name is Aaron. I'm at KSCO North, and we're going to have an open mic type program today. Haven't had one of those in a while. That means no particular subject. I'm gonna start it off with, I gotta say, for those of you who tuned in to last week's Saturday special, I enjoyed the program, and it's nice when we have a new program that we want to introduce to feature it on the Saturday special. That's what we did. The program out in Santa Cruz had already premiered the week before on KSCO, Saturday evening, 7 to 8 p.m. And that premiere program two Saturdays ago anticipated the Supreme Court rulings that came down, that did indeed come down, and the following week, and we thought it would be ideal to go ahead and have the producers and hosts of the program on the Saturday special, and we did. And I want to put it out there: what did you think of that Saturday special? What did you think of the show? For people who haven't heard, or for people who have heard, the Out in Santa Cruz gay activism show on KSCO, something that, you know, in 22 and a half years of having the radio station, it's a little, I don't know, I'm wondering why it took us that long to get it on. I think Rosie had the idea and called up the people, and they thought it was a great idea too, And it's about time, I think. But what did you think? Have you heard any of the programs? Give us a call, 479-1080. And what did you think of the last Saturday special, where we talked about a lot of those issues regarding gay rights and same-sex marriage and so forth? What did you think about that? Well, at one point, I made a quote. I made a quote from one of my favorite movies, which is Blazing Saddles with Mel Brooks and the gang. And my God, I mean, it was like I did a terrible, terrible thing, because during that quote, the N-word was used. And, you know, the N-word is becoming, it's always been an offensive word here, but I believe the N-word and other terms in the English language that are generally regarded as slurs are slurs only in the context of whether it's said with in a mean-spirited way. Okay? Now, for example, when Blazing Saddles came out in 19, it was either 74 or 75. It was at a time when there was a real popular CBS television series called All in the Family with Carol O'Connor and Gene Stapleton, who recently passed. And that program was loaded with bigotries and slurs and so forth. And it was the top-rated program of the times. And maybe Mel Brooks decided to sort of ride that wave back in 1974. I mean, I found that was one of the funniest movies that I've ever seen, because, again, there wasn't mean-spiritedness in it. It was all it was just pure comedy. Now, do you think that my sense of humor is warped because I find humor in ethnic jokes and so forth and stereotypes? Do you think there's something wrong with me, ladies and gentlemen? If you do, oh, my mother's nodding her head. Yes, she's in the room. She thinks there is something wrong with me. So I wish people would just chill out. I mean, part of the reason there's so much war and tension in the world is that people refuse to chill out and see humor in things. And my God, the reaction when I made that quote from Blazing Saddles, initially from my guests in the studio at KSCO, it was horrendous. It was like I had done something absolutely terrible, and I should have been ashamed of myself. And you know, I've been thinking about that a lot during the week, and my, how times have changed. My, how times have changed. I mean, it's like if All in the Family were being produced now, it could and would never fly. It would just never fly. Because there's so darn much political correctness in the world. What do you think? I'd sort of like to talk about that. That should set the thing off here, but I don't notice any phone calls. So 479-1080 is the phone number to call if you want to say your piece on the KSCO Saturday special. My name is MZ, and we're looking for your phone calls. We want to get the thing started, and we don't need to stick to that particular topic if you don't want to, but I think it's a real interesting topic, and if I'm not mistaken, CNN is going to be doing a documentary special this coming Monday evening. I think it's at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. I'm not positive. Don't quote me on the time, but the documentary is going to be the N word, okay? And we used to have a talk show host on KSCO named Rob Roberts, and he was black and he was bold and he was a conservative, and definitely one of our more popular talk hosts of all time. And he used to upset another black talk host that we had at that time. His name was Ted Jefferson. Now, Ted has moved to heaven. He passed on quite a number of years ago. But back when he was still living, he would come down to the station at the end of Rob Roberts' program, during which Rob would... Wow, I thought I should call Rob and see if we can get him on the program. Maybe we can do that, during the break or something like that. But Rob used to use the N-word, and it used to drive Ted Jefferson absolutely insane. So much, in fact, that this normal, peace-loving guy, Ted Jefferson, would come down to the studio just as Rob was finishing his program and almost get in a fist fight with him, almost get violent. And that was quite a thing for Ted Jefferson, who was a Baha'i faith person, sweetest guy you'd ever want to meet, last person in the world you think would engage in violence of any kind. But anyhow, those of you who've been listening to KSCO for a long time will remember those days. And why such a reaction to my using the N-word in the context of a quote from a very popular movie of the mid-1970s, Mel Brooks' Blazing Saddles. It just blew me away how everybody jumped on me on that. And I even got a nasty email from someone saying, the only difference between you and Paula Deen is that you own the station and can't be fired. Because you should be. You should have been fired for saying, I didn't call somebody the N-word. I used the N-word. Just the way it was used in Blazing Saddles. Anyhow, 479-1080 is the phone number to call in area 831. Looks like we got a number of callers right now. Who has been waiting long as that would be Terry in Capitola. So let's bring Terry up. Is that Colonel Terry, perchance?
No, it's Warmboard Terry.
Oh, Warmboard Terry. Oh, okay.
Ruin my business when I say this, but I thought the movie was very funny, and obviously the movie was making fun of the use of it. It was trying to defuse it by making it seem ridiculous.
Oh.
And it was because it was with hyperbole and over the top, and the most over the top scene to me was the one where he rides into town as the new sheriff, and there's all the bigots sitting around there, and you notice the sheriff's black.
Yes.
And he's about ready to get lynched or something, and I thought it was a comedic genius that he puts a gun to his own neck and says, take one step, and the nigger gets it. Now, I just said it, so I'll probably lose my business because of this. But
let's not say that your business is what it is, okay?
He's a black man holding a gun to his own neck, and he says, take one step, and the nigger gets it, right? And it's hilarious because everybody says, hey, he really means it. They back off. They take it all real serious. I mean, it's so over-the-top, you know, satire about the whole thing. And I grew up in an era where we had a chant we said as kids, sticks and stones will break my bones and names will never hurt me. And the point of it is that words are just words. It's a vibration in the air that happens for a second and it disappears and will not break a single bone, will not do a single thing to anybody.
Did you happen to hear the Saturday special last week, Terry?
Yeah, I did. A little bit of it, anyhow, about half.
Did you hear that part?
Yes, I did.
And were you shocked and horrified at the way people were shocked and horrified?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't shocked and horrified. Quite frankly, I expected it. I thought it was plain vanilla, ridiculous political correctness from a group that I would expect to be politically correct.
Well, what I was amazed at how I got listeners who, and even my mother felt that when she said I shouldn't have said that. I mean,
they used to be.
Do you remember the context?
Yes, I do.
What was the context, okay? Do you remember? You say the context.
No, actually,
sure.
I forget the exact part of the
movie. All right, well, what made me say it, I said, that reminds me of a quote from Blazing Saddles, one of my favorite movies. They were talking about how the rulings handed down were good for the gays and bad for the civil rights people. Good for the gay activists and bad for the civil rights people.
Yes.
And I said, that reminds me of and dare I say
it? Oh, yes, I remember. I mean, and they said it was really a mocking of but the Irish. And you had something about the Irish in there.
Yes. We'll give some land to the but we don't want the – oh, I can say Irish?
Yes.
Maybe the Irish people are going to get all pissed off now. What is with you people?
We need to have a constitutional amendment. It says there will be no right to not be offended. Because guess what? If you're offended, it's because you choose to be offended.
Wait a minute. The constitutional amendment would say there will be no right to not
to
be
not
offended.
To not be offended.
Oh yeah.
You can't sit there and demand that I should never be offended. Well, guess what? People are going to say things from time to time that will offend you. Get over it. You know, just get over it. Suck it up. Just deal with it. You know.
All right. All right, now listen, Warmboard Terry. I'm interested in whether
don't use that.
Sentiments of the people listening to the Saturday special today are such that they think I should be punished or you should be punished. In our businesses. Let's see what Gordy in Boulder Creek says. Stay on the phone, Terry. I got you
right,
locked in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good morning,
Hi, Gordy. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine today. The only that occurred when I was talking on the air. I was not offended by it. I'm probably part Irish.
Were you offended that some people were offended?
Yeah.
Like I was? I was offended that anybody would be offended in that context. Now, if I would have used the N-word and called somebody and either referred to somebody as the N-word or used it, you know, if I disagreed with someone in the studio or something, that would have been awful.
Yeah,
but it wasn't that at all.
No. I think you're right on track. We're ultra sensitive nowadays. I go back to the time, and I think you were too, when Amos and Andy was the most funny thing on
the
air.
Do the name Ruby Begonia strike a familiar note?
Right. Yeah, and then they had the television series, which I happen to have a complete collection of. But
you know, I understand there is pending legislation, Gordy, that would make that contraband. So I wouldn't broadcast that if I were you.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it at all. My point is here. Well, I actually have 2 points. Number one, if there's malice, okay, that's really important. If there's malice, if you use any tool, and language is a tool that everybody uses. If you use a tool with malice, now that's bad. But if you're doing it spontaneously,
you're saying it in a different way than I said it. If there's mean-spiritedness, which is the same as malice, involved, then it's bad. It's not good.
Yeah. And then you had this Martin case going on where he used the word cracker, which is very offensive in the South. To use that word cracker, especially in Georgia or Florida.
What does crackers mean?
That's an impoverished white person. It's like calling them white trash.
Cracker is a functional equivalent of the N-word for white people.
No kidding. I guess honky isn't not that honky.
Well, honky is another term, but that's because in the Old South, the rich people would drive up and they'd honk their horn to have a black person come out and service them. That's where that expression came from. But to get to my second point here, this is a violation of our First Amendment, which we can say what we want to, no matter how offensive it is to people. We have a right to be protected from other people's outrage. That's why we have the First Amendment, so we can say these things that are offensive and to make jokes. I mean, that's really important. But people today are so uptight, they use this political correctness to try to tell us what we can say. And that I find very offensive. It's another one of our rights that's being taken away. You're right on the mark. We need to get
someone named
uptight.
Someone named M, whose email address is xcryption@comcast.net, has just sent me an email. And it says, and there's a cartoon in the email, it says, political correctness has done more to segregate this country than it has to bring us together. We are Americans. And bigger than that, we are all part of the human. We are all part of the human. I think the word race is being left out there. And that's from GS. Now,
more importantly, this is the thing.
Wait, do I dare describe the cartoon here?
No, go ahead. Go for it.
Well, this is from facebook.com/imageblitz, okay? There's a brown, there are two eggs. There's a brown, maybe a dot. They look egg-shaped, so they must be eggs. There's a brown egg to the left and a right egg to the right, okay? And the black egg says, nigga, nigga, cracka, 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 nigga. And then in the next panel, the white egg returns the verbiage and just says nigga. And the brown egg says nothing. And then the brown egg in the final panel says, racist. That's it. That's a great cartoon. Anyhow, if I was to let this really bother me, like the political correct people would hope that I would, I think we'd have a really, really boring, bordering on humorless radio station. You know? I really do.
I agree. Well, and I think that what you...
And we never would have had the Saturday specials, the fabulous Saturday joke specials. There were four of them between my father and John Muth, both of whom were the last people in the world whom anybody would ever call racist or bigoted or in any way, but they would all enjoy a good ethnic joke. And for a week before we put these things on, we would do my Saturday specials, you know, they go da 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 da. And I said, if racist or off color or ethnic jokes offend you, do not repeat, do not tune into the next Saturday special, you know, and because we don't want to offend anybody, we want to warn them in plenty of time. And of course, you know, we can't prove this, but I believe those Saturday specials were the most listened to in the history of the radio station.
Yeah, you know? We need to make fun of these politically correct people.
Well, and if you look at Blazing Saddles, Blazing Saddles itself was a anti-racist, a satirist, a humorous way of looking at racism, making fun of it and making it ridiculous. Right. And that's why he used the word, and it was to make it ridiculous. And by the way, when black people use the word, and they use it all the time, and one of the reasons why they use it is also by overuse of it, you defuse it. It makes it ridiculous. It makes it unimportant. And it's when we sit there and we build these walls around this language that you make it important. And the whole point is to make language, you know, at least the offensive part of it, unimportant by use of it. And you know, they say the solution to bad speech is more speech.
Should I open this Pandora's box? Should I invite some ethnic humor, some jokes to be called into the Saturday special today?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, I will. And we're not going to send. We do not use an audio condom here.
And by the way, you know
that was probably pretty stupid for me to admit, huh? I shouldn't have said that. The jury will, the listeners will disregard that last stupid statement from MZ.
Yeah, the best ethnic jokes always come from people of that ethnicity. You know, you want to hear good Irish jokes, listen to Irish people tell them. Hear good Pole jokes, listen to Polish people tell them.
Yeah, well, one of my favorite jokes of all time, the Jewish joke, was, you know, how copper wire was invented, two Jews fighting over a penny. You know, I think that's funnier than hell. Did I offend anybody?
I have one that's a multi-ethnic joke, and I'll kick it off, and then I have to go.
Okay.
They say that in heaven, the police are British, the cooks are French, the mechanics are German, the lovers are Italian, and it's all organized by the Swiss. In hell, the cooks are British, the mechanics are French, the police are German, the lovers are Swiss, and it's all organized by the Italians. And when you tell that joke to anybody of those ethnicities, they all get it, and they all say, that's about right.
Why am I laughing? Because it's true. There's no point in laughing. I started to laugh because I didn't want you to think that I was stupid and didn't get the joke. And it really wasn't a joke. It's just
anybody who's driven a French car or eaten British food knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Right.
And Rosie would probably even appreciate it.
Now, see here, Warm Board Terry, I am so happy that you called the Saturday special today.
All right.
And ratified my feelings here. Now, I wonder if there's anybody who's going to call the Saturday special today who takes issue with me. And please, such people are welcome, and I will respect them, even though I think they're humorless.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I'm going to sign off. Got to go.
Thank you. Okay. All right. There goes Terry in Capitola. Here comes Steve in Felton. Hi, Steve. Welcome to KSCO.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, okay. I'm feeling much better. I was so upset. I was so depressed all week because people said that I should have been fired.
Oh, I think you know the PC thing has become so ridiculous, where we have overreaction on things like this, especially the context that you said it in. I'm glad that you mentioned the Paula Deen thing. I haven't heard the exact context of it. But all I've heard is what a racist she is and all these things. And her career's been completely destroyed, like in a week. People have such a visceral reaction to something like this, which I think is overblown. But the things that are real emergencies, what are they going to do? Set off a nuclear bomb? I mean, let's put things in context and have a reaction that's apropos to the situation. You know, they get violently angry over words that are said, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't have a reaction in something that is not right if it isn't in context. And But if something really happens, it's bad, some injustice, they just let it pass by like, you know, it's a reality show. There's no reaction. But the tiniest little infraction that's played out by the media or whatever, taken out of context, is just life or death. It just is so ridiculous one way. I'm just tired of it.
Well, you have a right to be tired of it, and so am I. Is anybody else tired? Is there anybody else who's not tired of us? Who think, hey, maybe we need to get with the program. Maybe Steve and Felton and I are on the wrong side of things. Listen, it's fine. Let's just have a discussion about that. I don't know. I just Steve, how long have you been listening to KSEO?
Probably 20 years.
So you remember the old Saturday specials where we'd have these the Saturday joke specials, and a lot of them were off color. My God, one day Richard N. Watsonville called up during one of those joke specials and just fired off just a bunch of rapid fire just hilarious things. I was never very good at remembering them, but he just had everybody in stitches. I mean, he certainly had me in stitches. He had my father in stitches. He had John Muth in stitches. He had my brother in stitches. Everybody I know was in stitches. Do you remember any of those programs?
I can't remember any of them with specificity, but, it all has to be done in context and with the right attitude. I mean, I'm a Christian, and boy, I mean, people just visceral attacks against Christianity, especially these days in the United States. And you don't see normally Christian folks just going berserk over the criticism, you know, and unfair ridicule. I think it just, the whole thing is turned so one way that it's just ridiculous.
All right. Well, so does anybody have it?
I think you have to have the right reaction to how it's presented. And, of course, the critical part is in context. You know, you said something from a movie in context, or very careful to explain it, and then these people just go berserk. You know, it's ridiculous. But somebody
In all fairness, they didn't go berserk. And by the way, you know, the people involved in that program are wonderful people, and they're just really they're really neat. I think they were just sort of surprised that I would use the word in any context. You know, that's all.
Well, I mean,
and I'm not ridiculing them. They're just surprised that you know.
But no one goes berserk when a drug addict rapper uses that term 100 times or profanity or disparaging remarks against women. No one does anything. They support them. But if you say it in the context of a movie, they go crazy. It doesn't make any sense. You know,
right.
You got to be consistent.
Well, I hear you. How can I thank you for calling the Saturday special, Felton Steve?
Okay, thank you for letting me talk.
Oh, just that's all? Okay, that's great. All right, thank you. There goes Steve and Felton. That opens up complete lines at 479-1080. That's in area 831. If you want to email me, the email address is mz@ksco.com. If you want to text me, well, no, forget about texting me because I don't want to give out my personal cell phone number. No, I just don't want to do that. But mz@ksco.com, that is my personal email number. I mean, email address, mz@ksco.com. Would love to hear from you either during this program, and if it's a good enough contribution during this program, I will read it. I will read your email directed to mz@ksco.com. By the way, do you ever get an email that says, where there's very ominous language at the bottom of the email that says, "This email is intended for the specific person that it was addressed to. And if you are not that person and have read this, you are subject to the death penalty." that's offensive to me, you know? I mean, if someone uses email, and if someone uses snail mail, for that matter, they're going to run the risk of someone that it was that wasn't meant to receive that message receiving it. And what about it? What's the big deal? Anyhow, there are so many little things that just bug me these days that I have to ventilate here. What better place to do it on the Saturday than the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSU? By the way, do you have any thoughts on where talk radio is going? Is it going down the toilet? Is it not long for this world? Is it being overshadowed every moment by new media, which is, you know, internet and smartphones and everything, and texts and emails and social media and all that? Do you think that there is a future for talk radio? I was reading one of my favorite blogs. It's become one of my favorite blogs. I don't read much. I really don't. But Rich Lieberman, 415 Media, and Rich is, I'm sure you know, is a KSEONKOMY talk host. I was reading his blog, and boy, there's a lot of dirt in that blog, an awful lot of dirt. It says KSFO, not KSCO, but KSFO meltdown. This was written on Thursday, July 4th. Melanie Morgan has issues with morning team co-hosts Sussman and Green. Tells sales department, quote, I quit. Now, you know, those of you who make no mistake about this, ladies and gentlemen, I do not want those of you who are not familiar with KSFO in San Francisco, which is pretty spotty. It's not real. You can't receive it all that well down in the Monterey Bay area. And I don't want you switching to that station when you're used to listening to our station. But it's very interesting to read, you know, stories and gossip about what's going on. I don't know whether this is gossip or I don't know whether it's real. Rich doesn't know if it's real. But my God, it spurred that story spurred no fewer than 37 comments. And when you read the comments on this blog, you find it's just hilarious. I mean, it's better than most of the stuff that you hear on talk radio, because most of the stuff that you hear on talk radio is tempered is a good word, and people don't hold back at all. I think people are much less likely to say what's on their mind with their voice, for fear that people might recognize their voice or something, than saying something anonymously on a blog. Now, by the way, if I ran a blog, I would not allow comments from anybody who called themselves who was a coward. In other words, anybody who uses the name anonymous. If they don't come right, I'm putting my name on the line by being on the radio, or if I were writing a blog, I would use my true name. And in my opinion, only cowards throw the rock and hide the hand. In other words, make these comments, many of whom are very, very fun. Many of which are very, very fun to read. They're delightful. But I don't know. I would, if it was my blog, I would not allow anybody to anonymously comment. I would require them to state their name, who they really are, and I would have some verification process to make sure that they weren't just making up a name or attributing it to somebody else or whatever. But that's a particularly fun blog, Rich Lieberman, 415 Media. I find it very, very entertaining. If you want to give us a call, 479-1080, be on the program here on the KSCO Saturday Special. It's MZ from KSCO North. Pilot in command today, brand new pilot in command named Aaron. Aaron, great job. It's going to be better and better. Here's Lula. Lula in Seaside.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Lula. Sorry.
I just accidentally ran across your station because I basically don't know very much about it. I'm down in Seaside, California, Monterey area. And I'm 76. I'm 76 years old. Okay.
Yeah, are you listening to your radio maybe? Because you're getting a little delay. There's a little deliberateness in your voice. We're happy that you called, and I really want to hear what you have to say. And boy, are you coming in strong from Seaside, Lula.
But, oh, yeah, and you're coming in strong from down here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that was never a problem. There was some bits of silence there. I was wondering when your phone was cutting out. Are you on a cell phone?
I hadn't put you on speakerphone, that's why. I have you on speakerphone.
Okay. So what do you think about the discussion that prompted you to call in, presumably?
Okay. I'm 76 years old. I was raised in Louisiana. I came here in 1968 to California. But can you hear me now?
Just fine. Yeah, keep going.
Okay. I was raised in Louisiana. And the word, that word, the N-word, okay? Yes.
You can say it because I understand the call screener says they're black.
Yes,
now, that
I
hasn't
am.
Been verified. We're just trusting you.
Now, let me tell you this. That word was very, very demeaning for 400 or more years, and it still is very demeaning. So therefore, can any black person hear that word really and truthfully, to tell you the truth, they're ready to fight. They're ready to fight only if it comes from another race, and especially white.
Okay.
Now, you have a lot of people who are who don't claim to be bigots, but they love to say that word because they know it upsets black people. It's just like when we are down south and that word somebody mentioned cracker, the same way as nigger is, it has the same connotation, but not as deep as when you call somebody that word, a very demeaning name for 400 or more years. Okay?
Lula, so, I'm so happy you called, and I agree with everything you said, but let me ask you this question. You're saying that the term, the N-word, is bad to use in any context, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. If that's what you're saying, then that's fine.
Well, there
when
you're being funny, most time people are trying to be funny, and they want to just kind of like, oh, they say it to each other. Yeah, we say it to each other, and it doesn't mean nothing. But when you say it, it means something else. And it's not taking it out of connotation. It means what it means. It's degrading, and we don't like it. I wouldn't call you no cracker because I don't even know you. And even if I knew you, I wouldn't call you that word.
Of course not. And Lula, I wouldn't call you that either. I wouldn't call anybody that. But
no,
talking
but,
about
you know,
in the content.
Your show, there are so many other things that you can talk about. Other than bringing in that word, somebody mentioned about Andy, the show Andy and
Amos and Andy, yeah.
Amos and Andy. It was all right in its time because white people had control over a comedy on TV. It was all right in its time. But that I bet you Amos and Andy couldn't be shown now.
Oh, I'm sure you're right. I'm absolutely positive you're right.
No, it could not be shown now.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing that it could, we agree that it could not be shown now, Amos and Andy?
No,
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Like you said, that man came down to the station. Honey, that's nigga. Let me tell you the truth. Nigga is a killing factor. You know, I have seen and heard when I lived in Louisiana. White people got killed over using that word.
Oh,
okay?
I'm sure. Yeah.
Okay, so therefore, it's maybe those of you who are born later on in life and you really don't know how bad it makes a black person feel, the older blacks, let's put it like that. Because, I mean, I'm a retired teacher, and I have had some black kids in my class that really upset me when they say, you know, why should I pay attention to what they did to us years ago? They didn't do it to me. Well, they did it to your ancestors. You know, you're sitting in these white schools. That's what I would tell them. You're sitting in these schools of every color there is because of your ancestors. But they still kind of don't get it, you know?
I think I get what you're saying, but just let me make sure. I want to ask you a question or two, okay?
Okay.
Do you think it's okay for you to use the N-word on the radio? And you used it. You actually said it.
Yeah.
In the context of this discussion, or do you think that's wrong?
No, I use it because this is what your discussion is about.
Okay.
That's
right.
The only reason why I would use that word.
And that's
the
only
reason,
obviously.
Because you brought it up. And it's a part of your story today.
It has become the topic of the program, it looks like, huh?
Yeah, it is your topic
of
the program.
Open mic program.
But
that,
there is no way that I would have called in and talked to you about the N-word, you know, if you hadn't had it as a topic.
Right. Okay.
And I was sitting here, I almost didn't call because I said, okay, let me hear all what is going to be said about this. Uh-huh. And I listened to that Felton person and another person, and oh, and now I'm getting sick of this and I'm getting sick of that. But you're not, until you have walked in our shoes those many years and heard how demeaning that word was when those people really, if they could have said something that was worse than that N word, the nigger, then they would have said it. So therefore, it's very demeaning, degrading, and it's just like you have taken a knife and just stabbed me in my heart every time I hear it, because I know I lived it. I'm not going by what I heard. I lived it down in Louisiana and Texas, and it's still down there. But it's more of you all out here that's doing it and playing under that role that, oh no, I'm not a bigot. But you get a big kick out of just saying that word. You know, I know that's what they call him the president now. Oh, you ain't no telling how many times he's been called that word. Oh my God, you know. But nevertheless,
well, that's not right.
He might be called one, but he is the head.
But
I
got to say something about the president too. You know, I heard him with my own ears say something. They were talking about the Tea Party, you know. And this was when the Tea Party first came into, you know, prominence into the news. And our president, Mr. Obama, referred to them as the tea baggers.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a terribly demeaning sexual term.
It may be to you, but it still is not as worse as the N-word. There is still is not as worse
do
as
you,
the N-word.
If you were a member of the
tea
baggers, Party,
that's what it's called. Yeah. That's what they are.
No,
they
Tea
are.
Party members, not tea baggers.
But they are. They are. That's how we see them as that. That's what they are.
Okay.
That is, you might not see them as that.
If there's a double standard here, I want to point it out. That's all I'm doing.
No. How old are you?
Anyhow, Lula, were you just spitting the dire, or have you listened to KSCO before?
No, I've never listened to you before. I'm just spinning the dial, laying here in my bed. I'm 76 years old, and my husband goes to church.
Anyhow,
so I'm just,
yeah, all of a sudden, I'm not hearing a return.
Huh?
Hello?
Hello? You hear me?
I think we better go for a hear me, gang?
Huh?
Okay, yeah, you were gone for a minute. I don't know what was wrong with our connection here, but I guess we're back. Can you hear me okay, Lula?
I hear you okay.
Okay, good. All right, I want to thank you for your call to the Saturday special. Please listen to KSCO more and participate in all our talk shows.
Oh, I will from now on.
Okay, great. Thank you much. Now we're going to go to Frank in Live Oak, who has a joke. Am I going to regret this,
Frank? No.
Okay, good. No. Go ahead. Good. As long as I'm not going to regret it.
I'm a long-time listener, and, you know, I was listening at the time that you know, did that, and, you know, I could understand the context, and I think that last caller probably made your point. But anyway, here's my joke. It's a beautiful Friday night, about 8 o'clock, and this Irishman walks out of a bar.
Oh, wait a minute. For a minute, I thought that we lost the connection again. Okay, say it again. The Irishman, it's when is it? And the Irishman walks out of the bar?
It's a beautiful Friday night, about 8 o'clock, and this Irishman walks out of a bar.
Does that mean that he's been there all day and all night?
No, Irishmen don't walk out of bars at 8 o'clock at night.
Oh, they walk. I gotcha. Okay. Well, they don't. Yeah. I think I understand it now. Is there anybody else in the audience who thinks Frank's joke is as funny as he thinks it is? 479-1080. Give us a call. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it. You take care. Here's Colonel Terry. Hey, Colonel Terry, are you going to be politically correct or are you going to tell an ethnic joke?
Both funny and politically correct, because I'm going to follow the good manners that your mother tried to teach you.
Oh, unsuccessfully, obviously, but, yeah.
Well, first of all, the use of the N-word, let us recognize that usually, most often, it is universally a very hurtful word, as Lulu was correct in pointing out.
Absolutely.
Yet Mel Brooks is comedic genius in Blazing Saddles, in the anecdote you used, you know, everybody stand back, or the end gets it. Incredibly funny. In fact, I recalled seeing that movie in the theater for the first time with a black friend in graduate school with me. And
I'll bet, don't tell me, I bet your black friend thought it was just as funny as you did.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, speaking of Mel Brooks and humor, you know, there's my father throttled me when I used the N-word in a town in Oklahoma, actually a large city there, where he was the manager of an electronics assembly plant, and he elected in 1954 to let blacks in this divided city by the railroad track, small city, apply to do assembly work at the same wages and same opportunities as everyone else. And I was called, in the fourth grade, son of nigger lover, by other children, you know, who were in, shall we say, less racially tolerant, families. And my dad heard me using that. I didn't tell him that I'd been insulted by the kids. My father drove me 90 miles every second Saturday for a year to have me participate in an all-black Cub Scout troop at age 8 in an all-black town 90 miles away, to make sure my brothers and I would not, if you will, have racial prejudice that was unjustified. And my father, who's now 92 and is retired in Aptos, obviously, I've told him recently, coincidentally, I'm so pleased that he made sure we had no racial prejudices and et cetera. And that served me well as an Air Force lieutenant, where one summer, three of the black sergeants in my unit got married, and I was the only white person invited to two of those weddings. And I just treated people fairly, as my dad had taught, as I'm sure as Kay had encouraged you and your siblings.
Yes. And we were required to be card-carrying members of the NAACP.
Excellent.
Or else it was the death penalty growing up.
And the ACLU probably, too, perhaps.
Yeah, that is true. That is absolutely true. Yeah.
Kay, do you have any comments, ma'am?
No, she's not. Well, she's not. She's here, but she can't it's hard for her to listen on the electronical setup.
Oh, okay. We'll give her my highest regards.
She'll have to listen. The last comment
on funny words and things that aren't funny. You know, there's nothing, ladies and gentlemen, funny about Nazis or Adolf Hitler. Nothing I can think of. Yet, Mel Brooks in the movie The Producers, another Mel Brooks great film, in the parody Springtime for Hitler. Do you recall that, MC?
Yes.
And that, you know, preposterous, funny, and it made such fun of the Nazis, such scathing.
Do you think Mel Brooks would come on the Saturday special?
He would, especially if you want to bring up this topic, because he's also a man who cares about racial tolerance, obviously.
Absolutely. Well, good. I'm really happy you seem to be enjoying this and that we are absolutely.
Yeah, and on the station,
keep
up this kind of programming. But in addition, you've got to do the spectrum on terrestrial radio. By that, I mean across the political and social spectrum. You've got to have liberals balancing Rush Limbaugh.
When
you have Limbaugh, it infuriates me often, but that's beside the point. But you've got to have more liberals, and you've got to have balance, and most importantly, you've got to have people who respect reality.
It makes for better radio anyhow. Thank you, Colonel Terry. Here comes Arthur in Seaside. Hi, Arthur in Seaside. How you be?
Good morning. Yeah. Hey, you want to be shocked? Watch Blazing Saddles. That'll curl your hair. But anyway,
that's what we were talking about. What caused all this. I made a remark that was a quote from Blazing Saddles on the last week's Saturday special, and I almost got
the little old lady remark. That's bad. Don't do that, man. You're getting trouble.
Up yours. No, I know who you're talking about. Okay.
Anyway, I wanted to call you to correct you on something, because this bothers me. I hear this a lot.
Okay,
but this is not how it happened. The term teabagger, okay, it started originally the Tea Party, which was the Ron Paul movement. I think Alex Jones was heavily behind it, and it was the Tax Enough Already. It was the Tea Party, and it was all about supporting Ron Paul. Later on, this AstroTurf movement came about, which was funded by the Koch brothers and all these multinational corporations, and they had the tour buses of people that they would drive down. They called themselves the teabaggers. And I even remember on the news some lady with a bunch of teabags stapled to her hat, and they're all protesting, get the government out of my Medicare and all that stuff when they're all making fun of them.
Are you suggesting, Arthur in Seaside, that when President Obama used the term teabaggers...
He's just calling them what they called themselves.
You don't think he was ridiculing them in a
No,
in,
no, because, you know, a lot of people didn't... A lot of people didn't know that that term was derogatory because I think it's a gay thing or something. And I'm not even really sure what it means. But it's supposedly it's some derogatory sexual act that homosexuals do. That's what I heard. I'm not even sure of that. So why would he be offending them if he's calling them what they call themselves and then it didn't come out until later that it was a derogatory term?
Does anybody know, we're going to have to do a complete Saturday special on the topic of teabagging and what it really means.
Yeah, well, it's just, like I said,
Wait a minute.
It's an AstroTurf movement funded by big multinational corporations by politicians.
A voice of God just came into my back hall and said, "You don't want to know."
Probably not.
I think I do know. Actually, if you just Google teabagger, you'll find out. It'll tell you. Go on the internet and do two things: Google teabagger and also Google 415 Media and start reading Rich's blogs. They're funnier than hell, especially the comments. Because, see, they can say things that we're not allowed to say without losing our broadcast license.
Right. So, well, I hope Talk Radio ain't going down the toilet because they're really going to miss it.
Oh, I hope not, too, because, yeah.
And by the way, the left wing, the left station's going down, and that's really a big disappointment to me. I'm really disappointed with that. I guess they're going to be internet only, and that sucks because I don't have internet in my car.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, this is KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Back in 6 minutes.
Sky lit up like day. an eyewitness description of the explosion and fire destroying the city center of the small Canadian town of Lac Mégantic, the result of a train derailment.
The train had 73 cars in it. It was carrying crude oil to the state of Maine. When it derailed, there were a series of explosions that happened right after that, and just a major, major fire that burned throughout the night, well into the daylight.
The town is just north of the Maine border. That's Todd Vander Hayden on Montreal radio station CJAD. An official with the railway says the engineer had parked the train. It somehow got released prior to the derailment. As for the cause, Sergeant Greg Gomez Del Prado, Quebec Provincial Police.
Once we can analyze the scene, of course, with our partners, we'll have a better idea of what might have happened, but of course that will be a long investigation.
As yet, there are no fatalities confirmed. In Caracas,
¿quién es el terrorista?
The president of Venezuela publicly offering asylum to American secrets leaker Edward Snowden. He's believed to still be in Russia. Here's Sky News reporter Katie Stallard.
It remains quite a big logistical challenge to get from where we believe he currently is, which is, we're told, a technical room within the transit zone of Sheremetyevo Airport, to South America, if that is where he chooses to take up this offer of asylum.
Yes, now Snowden also has asylum offers from Nicaragua and Bolivia now. In Egypt, political rallies are emotional, violent factional clashes across the country. Dozens of people are dead. CBS's Clarissa Ward reporting from Cairo.
In Alexandria and in Suez, there was fighting between protesters who feel their president was illegally deposed and security forces. Here in Cairo, there were similar scenes as Morsi supporters clashed with those celebrating his downfall. The two groups threw rocks and Molotov cocktails at each other for several hours before the military intervened.
From the military, there is no official confirmation, but it is being widely reported that Mohamed El-Baradei has been chosen to form the next Egyptian government. 30 months after a gunman shot her through the head, former Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords is the face of the fight for gun control. Giffords and her husband, the retired astronaut Mark Kelly, in the midst of a 7-state in 7 days tour across America, knocking down more than 8,000 miles this week, encouraging allies and opponents alike from Alaska to Maine to defy the National Rifle Association. Condition of Nelson Mandela. CBS's Deborah Patov in Pretoria.
We have seen a court affidavit in the handwriting and signed by Nelson Mandela's oldest daughter, Makaziwe Mandela, in which she says that her father is on life support. So really, any talk of improvement is a matter of degrees. We're talking from bad to worse and back to bad again.
A central Indiana man accused of hiding his friend's decomposing body in an unplugged freezer now facing charges of murder while attempting deviant conduct. This is CBS News.
Does your business thrive by serving other businesses? Would you like a healthy, steady flow of B2B leads that are customized to grow sales? Hoovers has developed a best-in-class lead generation tool that makes it easy for you to find targeted leads for your business. You'll be amazed at how easy it is to get the right leads fast. Try it today for free. Get 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial. Just call 800-601-7780. 800-601-7780. 800-601-7780.
Here's a surprising summertime fact from new Allegra Anti-Itch Cream. We all know that irritants like bug bites and poison ivy can make you itch. But what you might not know is how. Actually, it's the histamines your body creates in reaction to these irritants that make you miserable. But now that scratch has met its match. New Allegra Anti-Itch Cream. Its maximum strength itch medicine blocks your itch-causing histamines fast for long-lasting relief. New Allegra Anti-Itch Cream. The relief you've been itching for. Use as directed.
There's a new royal on the way. Want to bet when it arrives?
The next heir to the British throne is expected to be born in 7 days, and the bookmakers are taking millions on nearly everything about the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge's royal bundle of joy. Most people bet it'll be a girl, and if it is, the two top names are Alexandra and Charlotte, with the name of William's late mother Diana a close third. For a boy, the bets are on James and George. One bookie reports two long-shot bets on Mohammed. Bets are also being taken on the baby's hair color. 4-1 odds it'll be a redhead. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
Britain's Prince Harry qualifying as an Apache aircraft commander after passing a grueling 6-hour flying assessment with flying colors, they say. Queen Elizabeth's grandson, known in the military as Captain Wales, spent 3 years training for the qualification, which places him at the very top of his profession. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Currently 5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Today is Saturday, July 6, 2013. Aaron Shore here with your local King of the Hill traffic and Central Coast weather. As far as your roadways along the Central Coast and up in the Silicon Valley, no accidents seem to be apparent. All clear on Highway 1 through the La Fonda Overpass all the way up to Highway 17. You are just going to hit mild pockets of slow speeds just after Montesereno, past Los Gatos, and up in Campbell area on Highway 17. Other than that, no road congestion apparent at this time. It is currently 60 degrees at your local KSCO AM 1080 station. We now return with hour number two of the Saturday special with none other than MZ.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Well, we didn't mean to kick a hornet's nest, but I think we did. We're talking about the N-word. Bring the volume up, please. Bring the volume up. And we welcome you to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special on one of, if not the last remaining independently owned and operated radio voice in the country, KSCO and KOMY. Emanating from 2300 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz. I am using technology to KSCO North to host the program. And we have been talking about political correctness and use of terms like the N-word that are offensive to many people. But I have a problem with people just having a blanket offense to hearing the word. I think it should depend upon the context that the word is being used in. So if you want to give us a call and participate, we'd love to hear from you. The phone number is area 831-479-1080. 479-1080 and area 831. Craig Hudson in Hawaii sends an email saying, "The plight of the black man is the story of humanity. Blacks don't have a monopoly on suffering. Nobody has a ownership of words. Teabaggers are bodyboarders." And then there's the smiling face, and it says, "Aloha. FYI, for your information, bought the first season of All in the Family about 2 weeks ago. Laugh out loud." Thank you, Craig. Craig's been listening to us from Hawaii, I guess, for some time. Oh, Jess Matern in Seaside says, "I think Lula from L.A., Lula from, I guess, Louisiana, displayed the typical poor me mentality. It's okay to call people that she doesn't like derogatory names like teabagger, but she should be shown the utmost in respect, and to quote a school teacher, no less. That's not as worse as the N-word." Good grief. Okay, so that's what Jess says, and he sent those words to mz@ksco.com. MZ, that's me. Love to hear from you again. Anybody who wants to call in, 479-1080, you don't have to confine your remarks to this particular topic. I announced at the beginning of the program that we're going to make it an open mic show, and the first subject I suggested sort of took over for the rest of the hour, and it looks like we got at least a couple more people who want to continue that topic. Let's go to Shelley in Aptos. Shelley, welcome to KSCO. You're on the air.
Yeah, listening to this, I feel like maybe PC has made it harder to laugh at the silly things people do. I'm a blonde, and as I'm listening to your show and knowing my own experiences, it sounds like teabaggers, Romney, and blondes, we're like the only group that are still self-confident enough to laugh at ourselves.
Well, do you want to laugh at yourself right now for everyone to hear?
Oh, I love blonde jokes, and people, when they start to tell them, they'll suddenly look at me, and they'll be this, oh, my God, oh, my gosh. And I'll laugh. I'll go, no, tell the joke, because we're the only group left that you can tell silly people jokes about.
Yeah.
And when I grew up as a kid, I'm Irish and French, and, oh, my, I love the joke that somebody recited earlier. I thought it was one of those great classics of, you know, if the you want a perfect world of the British being the policeman, not the cook, etc. That's how we used to be able to see ourselves in jokes and laughing at ourselves. And now, oh, my goodness, it's not fun anymore.
Right. Well, anyhow, do you have, before we let you go, I assume, and by the way, I don't want to jump to a conclusion that's not true here. I'm assuming you were finished with your comments.
Yes.
Okay, before we let you go, do you have a poor taste joke to share with us?
Oh, let me see. I can never remember the punchline, but let me try the one. I always like the blonde jokes. You know, the blonde that's on the other. Oh, I can't remember a punchline. No, I can't.
That's okay. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I've got one. I've got a really old one. I've got a really old one because
it doesn't matter.
It was about how we always have to be the you know, we always have to be superior to someone. And the joke was, I'm going to say nigger. Okay, the joke was, what do niggers say? Wait, how did it go? Okay, what do black kids say when they're jumping off a bridge in New York? Last one in's a Puerto Rican.
See, now there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Except that you did use the N-word not once but twice. Not cool.
Well,
that's
I tweaked it to black kids.
Good. Okay. Then it became cool suddenly.
Well, because when I was a kid, last one in was a nigger. Then it became, what would a black kid say? Well, last one in's a Puerto Rican. We always had to have a pecking order.
Right. Okay, good. Shelley, thank you so much for your contribution to this Saturday special on July 6th in the year of our Lord, 2013.
And yes, talk radio will continue. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Billy Sunshine, I can't wait to hear what you say. I know you have a sense of humor, but what are you going to say about all this?
Hi, Mike. What I'm going to say about all this is that I ran into a situation the last couple of years, the word nigger.
Now, something happened to Billy Sunshine. I lost his audio, and I might have lost everybody's audio. Let's see if Jay and SoCal. Jay, are you on the air? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay, good. I don't know what happened to Billy Sunshine. He must have censored himself because I didn't do it. Anyhow, go ahead, Jay. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. First of all, I'd like to say I have a question. What did the blonde say when she found out she was pregnant?
What?
It's not mine.
I have heard that. That's a very good one, though.
Okay, and secondly, the word nigger is an English word. It's not talking about black people. It's talking about white people, and it means uneducated, worthless scoundrel. And some, you know, between, you know, the time the English got here and, you know, the 19th century, that word, you know,
it became bastardized.
It became, to like apply to a certain group of people, but it has nothing to do with black people. It means uneducated, worthless scoundrel.
Okay, now just for the heck of it, I'm typing into here definition here. How do you say in-ition? Not definition, definition. Okay, let's see what it comes up with. Wait a minute. Okay. Just for the heck of it, I wanted to see what it says if I just Google it, okay? Definition. Okay. Let's see what comes up. Okay, offensive. Now wait a minute. I'm looking at Google here right now. No, Merriam-Webster. Okay?
Right.
Usually nigger definition and more from the free Merriam-Webster. Usually offensive, see usage paragraph below, colon, a black person. Two, usually offensive, see usage paragraph below, a member of any dark-skinned race. So what you're saying is that the original term was not designed to depict a black person, but
yes,
somehow
sir.
Became that.
All if right. You go to like the Webster's Dictionary before the 1950s, it says uneducated, worthless scoundrel, has nothing to do with race or color, and it has been, you know, like updated now, of course. But if you go to like older dictionary, that's the definition. And
very
I thank you very much for the show. And
Jay, thank you for your call and for your contribution to the program. Cody in Santa Cruz, welcome to KSCO Radio. You're on the air.
Hi, I got a joke for you guys too. What's the difference between tires and black person?
What?
Tires don't sing when you put chains on them.
Oh, no, that's just very, very poor taste. Oh,
hey, I was told, a black person told me that one.
Okay. Oh, okay, well, in that case, it's okay.
See, my whole point is that words can only be, are only offensive depending on how you take them. So as far as teabagger goes, it can be very offensive depending on who you tell it to.
I believe that President Obama, when he used the term teabagger to describe the Tea Party people, knew exactly what he was saying.
Oh, I agree. Did you guys ever find out what the derogatory term of teabag means?
Yes, and it's so terrible.
So I mean, if anyone knows what that means, they'll know that it was a derogatory term and that it is offensive. As far as the N-word goes, now, I don't believe that it's a good word, but it all depends on the context, and it also depends on the person. You know, if two friends are talking, one of them happens to be black, I've said that in front of them, and they haven't gotten offended because they know for a fact that we're friends and that I don't think that they're the N-word. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it all depends on the situation, who you're talking to.
Yeah, like
and,
I said, whether it's mean-spirited or not, yeah.
Exactly. You know, it's like my name's Cody. So when somebody calls me Corey for the third time, I start getting offended. Is Corey a bad word? No, but I'll get offended because, look, I've told you my name's Cody three times before. So it really all depends on the situation and how you use it. So
right.
That's my whole two cents on that.
All right. Well, we are happy you spent your 2 cents on KSCO Radio today.
That's
Cody.
I almost
called you Corey. Cody. Thank you, Cody. Don't be a stranger.
Right.
We'll talk to you again.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
There goes Cody. Here's Billy Sunshine. What happened to you, Billy?
My phone died.
Oh.
So, when did it occur? At what point in the call? Pretty early?
Yeah. We didn't get to hear anything.
Oh, okay. So here's the thing. You and I are at times professional radio people, and if we're reporting a news story, say, I think you don't say the N-word if the word is appropriate in the story. And here's my example. I've been very upset about the attempts to keep black people from voting over the past couple of years.
Yes.
And one of the reasons that I've been so upset about it was around this time I saw a picture of something that happened, I'm sure, 20, 30, 40 years ago, even more. But it was a picture of a black man, a dead black man, hanging with a sign around his neck. And the sign said, "This nigger voted." Now, when I go to tell you about that picture, it doesn't work if I say, "This N-word voted." It weakens it so totally. So in reporting that and to explaining why I so hate those attempts to keep black people, Negro people, N-word people from voting,
I have to say this nigger voted. It's a word I avoid using in almost every other context, but not in this context. What do you think?
I don't think it would have been very effective in this context, except the way you said it.
Exactly.
So you obviously have no problem with me with what I said last week, right?
Well, I don't think it was quite as appropriate as my usage. And, oh, by the way, and on the thing with the teabaggers and the president, I don't think that this president goes around trying to say really inflammatory things and calling people's names.
No, I don't think he goes around.
I might
but
do that.
He had a great opportunity.
Do that,
when someone talks about, listen, I've got this little twinkle in my eye. When someone brings up the tea partiers on the radio, I will chime in and say the teabaggers, just because
Yes, you will, and so will
I. Will because that's my sense of humor.
I.
No, but it's not. It's not because I think Barack Obama did it because I think he did it in a mean-spirited way. I did it in a weird MZ sense of humor sort of way.
First of all, I doubt that he did it in a mean-spirited way, but it doesn't matter to me because, second of all, you cannot compare calling white people some of the names as opposed to using the word nigger. It is clearly designed to be hurtful and has been for hundreds of years. Teabaggers have never been anybody's slaves. Have never been treated the way those people were treated, so we don't get to be sensitive about the word teabagger.
Okay.
All
righty. Well, thank you so much, Billy, for calling the program. Okay. Now, who's next? Who is next? Let's see. Who's been waiting the longest? Jay in Zlov. No, Jan in Zlov.
Hi,
and then Pete, and then Pete in Watsonville, and then John in Santa Cruz, and then Pat in Santa Cruz. Hi, Jane. How are you doing?
Hi. Thanks for letting us get our say in. And I've been thinking about this, and I really didn't want to step in anything. But the more I thought about it, I came up with the idea that until the blacks forgive us for the sins of our past, I think they will just keep themselves always separate from us and not be able to be considered, you know, totally a part of us. And until the whites can forgive themselves for what happened in the past, and we can all get over this, you know, we've got a lot more important things to deal with. We need to all come together, forgive ourselves, forgive each other, forget about this stuff. You know, when I was in high school, I was proud of being called a Dago. In fact, I embroidered it on my gym shirt. One day my dad came home and saw it on the clothesline. And I guess he got a little upset, but he was pretty calm when he talked to me, and he explained to me what he went through, being called a Dago and a WOP and everything else. But he let it go.
Jan.
You know, when we can drop this baggage and we can laugh at it.
May I ask you a personal
question?
We can
free ourselves. Yes.
May I ask you a personal? Yes, I may. Are you a Dago?
I am. I'm a Dago, a WOP, but I'm also an American. I'm so proud of this country. I'm so glad it was here for my grandparents to come to. I want to make it good. I want to make it the best country in the world. I want to thank all the soldiers and the veterans who died or who lived with handicaps for protecting it for me.
Well,
I'm so thankful that I grew up in this country, in this state, in this area.
That's what we like, positivity on the radio, because there's
too
damn much negativity.
Baggage.
You're absolutely right.
Thank
you, Jan.
Free ourselves, all of us. Freedom.
We certainly appreciate your call to the Saturday special. There was Jan in San Lorenzo Valley. Here's Pete in Watsonville. Hi, Pete.
Yeah, I've been listening to all the bad things that are happening to different races and nationalities, and I've had it, too, with the Scandinavian Swedish background. I'm a squarehead or another dumb Swede, and I think human nature to like to put people down or to belittle people, and it's a sad commentary on human nature. But that isn't why I called. I want to know, am I going to be able to hear Wattenberg tomorrow uninterrupted?
Oh, boy, who knows about the future? I think you're referring to the last two weekends in a row. We've had some technical problems with the satellite or with our transmission or both. And all I can do is apologize that I believe the answer to your question is yes, because if the answer is no, we're going to be in a world of hurt because a lot of people like to listen to Bill.
Well, what is it that happens?
Well, I could tell you is what happened. We were having some transmitter issues, a couple of weeks ago, and later, you know, I can't remember which was which. We had a computer issue that switches the between satellite feeds. We do not originate the Bill Wattenberg show from KSCO. That's originated from some other place, from some other network, and we receive that. We receive their network feed separately through our own satellite receiving system. And there was a problem with that satellite receiving system one of the weeks, or a problem with the automation system computer. And then there was another problem with a transmitter. You know, bleep happens, Pete. That's all I can say.
Well, why is it that is it a similar setup to Rush Limbaugh's transmission?
Yes.
Well, why does it happen to Wattenberg and not? I've never heard it for Limbaugh.
Oh my God! You know, you haven't been listening to Limbaugh because any time there's any kind of a glitch, sunspot, something that nobody has any control over, you know, when it happens during Limbaugh, we get our switchboard is flooded with phone calls accusing all of the lefties at KSCO of censoring Rush. So I got to tell you, people are very, very protective and of their talk radio. And if anything is amiss, if anything is awry, they get very upset. And I can understand it, but it's just the way it is. But we hope that we hope that we will not have any more of those problems.
What is the proper dial number for your program on Sunday nights in Modesto?
Oh, that's not happening anymore. That was just that was a temporary thing that was supposed to last a week, and it ended up lasting 6 or 8 weeks. We were doing a favor for a fellow broadcaster who was about ready to lose his frequency. It would have to go back to the FCC. It was dark for some months or years, and the license would have had to been turned into the FCC unless they put something on it. So we agreed to let them use our KOMY signal. But now I understand they have their own and they're doing oldies or something. But it's KMPH AM 840.
I was there Father's Day, and no way is it 1080 or 840.
Oh, well, it was 840. I mean, I wasn't there on Father's Day, but I've listened where I could receive 840. And I was hearing the KOMY feed. Anyhow, Nick, Pete, thank you for calling. Nick is going to be one of the next callers, but we got to go to John in Santa Cruz next. John, welcome to KSCO. You're on the air.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, brother. Yeah, I'm like close to your age, but I hear a lot of people ribbing other people, but they put an N-A, you know, they put an A at the end instead of an E-R of the N-word.
Right.
Yeah, they put the A on, you know, not more, less offensive, evidently, but I've never heard white people ribbing black people saying that. It's just unacceptable, even if you know them or not.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, it's just a four-letter word, basically.
I agree with you. You know, when you're talking, when you're ribbing somebody, certain things you just don't do that. But when you're reporting on something or you're making a point or an illustration, as I attempted to do last
you
last
did day, you did right. We understand where you were coming from, brother.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Tell your mom I said hi. Bye-bye.
I will. Thank you. Thank you. Lester sent a joke, and there's no body in the email here, but I guess here's the joke, which is in the subject line. Two Southerners talking, Timmy got married last week to Mary. The other one says, is she a nagger? No, she's white. All right. Thank you very much, Lester. For sending that joke, very good joke. John Mallory in Hawthorne, California. All right. Well, listen, I'm not a very fast reader. Should I do this? I haven't scanned this thing. John in Boulder Creek says, Greetings, MZ. I finally brought myself to watch a very disturbing video. It showed police shoot a Rottweiler dog four times. The dog was owned by a black man making a video of a police raid for his blog. The police were not happy with him. They approached him from almost 50 yards away. He put his dog in his car as three policemen approached. He committed no crime, but the police surrounded him and seized him. The dog jumped out of the car window. The dog was not attacking. It looked like he wanted to play. One of the cops took out his gun and mercilessly shot the dog four times. It made me sick to watch. How can we allow such evil and cruelty? There was no reason to shoot that dog. In a subsequent interview, the owner was visibly crushed. He has no recourse. His dog is dead. I would encourage people to watch the videos and call Hawthorne Police Department to voice their outrage. Thanks. Okay, thank you, John, in Boulder Creek. 479-1080 is a phone number to call if you want to participate in the Saturday special today. We have a couple of people on the line here, but a couple of other emails I want to read here. Larry and Mary O'Neill from Oklahoma. MZ, I stream your show from Oklahoma. I wish I lived in California now. Alas, my grandchildren are here. It seems to me the show has already become one-sided. The nice black lady school teacher says that white people don't know what it's like to be called the N-word, a word with 400 years of terrible history. Pardon me. That seems to me to be pretty unfeeling on her part to me. I am sure that she feels she is the most fair and unprejudiced person in the world. If she were white, I'm sure she would object to being called cracker. To many of my friends, being called a cracker is a terrible thing. Maybe she'll be given a cooking show and in 30 years have that million-dollar show taken away from her for her very comments today. I'm aware she is 70-something. And to the white guy who said it was okay to call teabaggers teabaggers because that is what they call themselves, well, then I guess it's okay to call black people the N-word because that's what they call themselves. Man, MZ, what a double standard. My grandparents came to California from Oklahoma in the Dust Bowl era, 1934, and I chopped down cotton with black people in the 60s in 110-degree heat near Fresno. They were great to work with. I developed a respect for him, Michael, and anyway, wishing I was in California. Larry, my spell check is off. But I can spell, haha. Okay, that's Larry and Mary O'Neill listening in Oklahoma. Thanks, you guys, for participating in the Saturday special. Joe Benson says, Michael, whether the word nigger is appropriate language for whatever reason or not, remember it cost Dr. Laura her job for saying it. It cost Lenny Bruce a reputation, and it cost Michael Kramer of Friends a career, too. You know better. You are a radio station owner. The word is not appropriate or classy for radio use. Disparaging remarks like nappy-headed hose caused Don Imus to lose his job. 2 hours on whether you were right or wrong makes you sound weak in doing so because, a quote or not, 2 hours is too much, and that's that. You don't shout fire in a dark movie theater. Michael, what's next? Saying, well, it starts with F and it ends with K and there's a U and a C in the middle. Saying that on the air? I've had enough of all these bleeping snakes of this mother bleeping plane from a funny movie called Snakes on a Plane. Also, Michael, KMPH is not running Rich Lieberman as of July 1st. Yeah, I know that. They are playing oldies and have been awaiting their new image package to make their final change. Of all the words in the language and all the things in modern discourse, you don't need to use nigger as a responsible broadcaster. My opinion, thanks. Okay, thank you, Joe Benson, for expressing your opinion here on what we all know is your favorite radio station. Okay, 479-1080 is the phone number to call. And let's see, Morin at the farmer's market? Morin? Are you at the farmer's market?
No, I'm in. Maureen.
Oh, you're in the farm. Oh, Maureen.
Maureen at the farmer's market. I'm sorry.
Okay, got it. Yeah, it says M-O-R-E-N. Yeah. Maureen.
Oh,
okay,
well,
okay.
They
forgot to put another E in there. Okay.
That's close.
What farmer's market are you at, Maureen?
The one on the west side off of Swift.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing
wrong with
that place.
They got really good strawberries and blackberries and raspberries and all kinds of good stuff. But, you know, I wanted to say that, you know, years ago, just, you know, the word Negro came from the Spanish and the Portuguese because they were the first slavers and they just named them black.
Yeah.
But that's their word for black. But, you know, what gets me is I listen to a black attorney woman and a black attorney man, and their statement hit so good with me because one of my best friends is married to a black man, and they use the word all the time. If it's such a bad word, then guess what? This attorney said rappers shouldn't use it, black people shouldn't use it, if they fault the white people for using it, because in their talk they use it back and forth all the time.
I don't appreciate double standards, do you?
Yeah, so they, no, I mean, I went to, I was on a nonprofit and I had to go to a class on sensitivity. And did you know that the majority, well, we're not anymore, but this is back about 15 years ago, if you're in the majority being a white person, you have prejudices, but if you are a minority, you don't, if you hate white people or you hate Latinos and you happen to be black. Great, huh? So anyway.
Wow.
But that's just my feeling that, I mean, if it's such a bad word, then they should not use it amongst each other so much. The rappers, the hip-hop guys, and the female attorney said, too, get rid of the word hoe and bitch in their songs that they sing. And she said, if it's so bad for other people to do it, she said, then our culture and our people should not do it amongst each other. And that's all I'm going to say.
Are you sure you don't want to say anything else?
No, I'm sort of mousy, but I'm going to hang up. So,
all right.
But your show
right.
is
well,
your show
for
is
calling.
Your show is very good today.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we figure you never know what's going to happen with this stupid show here. Anyhow, thank you, Maureen. I mean Maureen, Rory. Hi,
Michael.
Rory.
Hey, thanks Rory. For yes, thanks for taking my call. I did not.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I didn't catch the very beginning of your show, but I picked up on the content quickly. And
I was horrified at the way I was treated on my own station last week, just because I made that quote from
you had a commentary?
Blazing Saddles.
Oh,
no,
right.
I made a quote about from Blazing Saddles. I think you were listening to the show, weren't you?
I did not hear the quote. I'm sorry.
Oh,
but
okay.
I one thing that's interesting is that, yes, that term can be a strong pejorative, no question. And if people of black descent, color, want to use it amongst each other, well, fine. I'm not going to tell them what to say or what to think. But what's interesting is, and maybe nobody's brought this up, is that California, not being a slave state or having anything to do with slavery, and that would be true of Oregon and Washington and Arizona. You know, there's so much that was drug over here into California from the South and the old wounds of the Civil War and stuff that California and the West never had anything to do with. My family's been here four or five generations. They just bypassed it. There was never this strong, you know, bigotry towards blacks. I'm sure it was there just because, you know, there's residual. But in general, I didn't grow up with it. I didn't see it. I didn't hear it. You hear little bits and pieces of it. But in general, there's no leftovers from the Civil War on the West Coast. So I think most people can just say, you know, let you guys figure out your age-old animosities over there, and then we'll just take a pass, and we'll judge individuals on the content of their character and not their skin color. And just try to be colorblind. I mean, what's the big deal? And those that want to dredge up the past for a divide-and-conquer dynamic, we'll just identify them for who they are. So you're all about divide-and-conquer. We're first American citizens, and then we're citizens of certain states, and let's let it go at that. I don't see what the challenge is there.
Well, I'm happy Bring you it brought on. That up.
Yeah, but anyway, no, the West Coast does not have a history of bigotry from the South. Any of that stuff was imported. My Italian ancestors, when they came to L.A. in the 1870s, English was spoken,
Spanish was spoken, Italian. And they learned the languages, and they got to work, and the first generation went to school, and they just jumped right in with both feet. And
we knew some,
there was one black family in our Catholic parish growing up, and, you know, they were accepted. I mean, I'm sure they took some grief from the idiots here, and there's always an idiot or two. Life is full of idiots. But, you know, they were accepted. They were part of the school, the church, the Carter family. And my parents always taught us to be respectful of people because they're made in God's image and likeness, no matter what their background or what their skin color was.
Exactly.
And I think that's something that we could take straight from your Judaic upbringing and your mother's, is that everybody, no matter their ethnic descent, we're all made in God's image and likeness. And there's none of this survival of the fittest nonsense which came out of Darwinian thought. That's not the case. So we need to be respectful towards each other because we're God's creation, and start there and then move forward.
And that is just one of many reasons I respect you. Thank you for calling.
Take care, Michael. Bye now.
I appreciate it. You have a good one. Here comes Harold in San Jose. Hates white people. Hates white something. What is it, Harold?
Understand the fact you guys are doing this program, and I never like white people, and this only reinforces it.
Oh.
I don't like white people. Do not like the white race. And you all, because of this stupid program like this, I do not like the white people.
Okay.
I do not like you.
You have a right, and it's because of programs like this. Do you hear lots of programs like this?
No, I don't listen because the media is all of you white people that don't know the blacks. And you are a damn racist, all of you.
I am?
All of you. I do not like the white race, and I never had. You're a bunch of bastards.
Oh, okay. Well, the man who says that he doesn't like the white race and we're all a bunch of bastards just hung up like a coward. I was going to engage him in a discussion here, and I wasn't going to ridicule him or anything. I was just going to ask him some questions and engage in a dialogue. But he wouldn't allow me to do that because he doesn't like white people. You know, it actually says, it looks like someone's here at KSEO North. Who in the world could it be? Let's go to Hartman. Hartman is on Highway 9. Hi, Hartman.
Hi, MZ. How are you today?
Hartman, what a pleasant surprise. I thought you lived in Minnesota. I mean, Montana.
Well, the city's giving me trouble. You can hear about it Monday when I'm on with Billy. But right
now, okay.
I'm going up to Boulder Creek to get in touch with my roots.
Oh. Are they black people?
No. Well, they might be, because there are black lumberjacks, too. I'm going up here to the lumberjack contest.
Oh.
And I just wanted to go in and say, I am listening to you.
Oh, good. Nice to hear from you, Steve. Yeah, you well, happy you're here and appreciate the kind words.
Have a great day and good show.
You do. Thank you. Claudio in Santa Cruz is next. Hi, Claudio. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? I've got a couple of things here. One, in that last caller or a couple of callers ago, you had something about, you know, that the world is, we're all out of God's image. And, you know, this whole Darwinian thing is a load of crap. And that's really, I mean, there's two different things going on there. One is that we are all in God's image, so I think that words are – people reacting to words is kind of a weakness. So when people say, oh, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, that seems like that's just gone out the window because now everybody jumps on the second you say something that's inappropriate. That's that PC thing that needs to go away. The other thing being, you know, the Darwin thing, I mean, that's totally different – and in a intersection with, you know, how we treat each other, because we can treat each other nicely, but the Darwinian component is more about, you know, acquiring things and becoming, enriching yourself. and, you know, reaching a higher plateau. You know,
you're right. You got me thinking now. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will hurt me the most, is what it should be changed to.
That's what it is, and that's what's wrong. And what's wrong is because that makes people weaker. See, the Darwinian component is that we become a better, stronger race, a better, stronger group of people, a better, stronger anything. See, when you reduce yourself to words, you become a weaker race because you let anything affect you. Oh my God, he called me a booger. Oh no.
A booger? Do you know what a booger is?
I do. I have a bunch of them.
A booger, like as in a booger from inside your nose?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was just throwing out a minor word there, but that's actually that's what we react to. We react to the N-word. We react to the F-word. We react to the C-word.
You're right.
It doesn't matter what the word is, just a word. It doesn't mean anything.
But
it
what
only
I
means,
said at the beginning
it only
of
means
the program,
what, you make, what you give it. It only means exactly. What you attach to it. So which right. is a little bit sort of like money, right? Because money is only paper, so it only means something because we attach something to it. It's a little bit different, but in the same context. But, yeah, the Darwinian component, I mean, what's wrong is that we're letting all these social issues and all these social things dictate, you know, where society is. And instead of it being higher common denominator, it's going to the lower common denominator.
Claudio, are you new to Santa Cruz?
I've been here 7 years. I'm actually on my way out because I'm done here. I can't make a living here.
Now, wait. Before you go, what is your profession that you cannot make a living at in Santa Cruz?
Unfortunately, I have a lot of different professions, and so that's kind of been a problem.
What's your favorite way to make a living?
I like bartending the best.
Okay. Well, give out your phone number. I see your phone number. Can I give it out, or do you want to give it out? You have thousands of people listening to you. Maybe someone likes what you said, and maybe someone would love to give you a job. You never know.
Oh, that'd be great. I mean, I have 2 college degrees. You know,
you're an intelligent dude. I can tell because of the way because of your call here.
Well, the thing is that it's one of those, Santa Cruz is kind of like, if you don't know anybody here, you don't do anything here. And that's kind of been the hill that I've been trying to climb ever since I got here. You know, it's always been, well, if you're not local, you're nothing here, you know?
I got news for you. There are a lot of people who are not local. I was born and raised here. I am local and I welcome everybody.
Yeah, I get that.
But anyhow, if you want to give out your phone number, do it because people are listening and tell some of the other things. And maybe you'll get or an email address, whatever. Might as well use it.
Yeah, man, I'm game. I was supposed to leave here on the 1st, but it's so hard to leave here because the only place for me to go is Texas, and Texas is just so hot.
Stay here.
The reason I came here is because of the weather, because at the end of the day, that's really the only thing you can affect is the weather of the year-round.
Right. Okay, so Claudio, what's your email address?
It's CF Burt. So Charlie Frank Boy Echo Randy Tony at Hotmail.
Okay, and your phone number, you want to give your phone number or not?
Sure, why not? 713-494-3134.
What a great phone number. Okay, Claudio, thanks for calling the Saturday special. And if you do move away, be sure to tune us in and call again because you're a great caller.
I hope something happens. I really don't want to move.
Take care.
Thanks, man. Okay. All right.
Have a good one. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Mike in Live Oak is next. Mike, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hey, MG. I know somebody that made millions of dollars on that word, and that was Richard Pryor, comedian.
Before he
died. But it was funny because he made a trip to Africa, and when he came back, he was reborn to not use that word anymore. And he said after that, a lot of his audience dropped off and wouldn't go see him anymore because he wouldn't utilize that word in his
Oh, because he wouldn't utilize. That's interesting. Wow.
Yeah, I thought that too. That's very interesting.
So it's just the opposite. Anyhow, I just think people should be themselves. And if they, like I said, the key to everything is whether it's mean said with malice or mean spiritness, which is the same to me. Yeah, Mike, thanks for calling the Saturday special. Appreciate your words.
Thanks, Lindsay.
You have a good one. Here comes Catherine in Santa Cruz. Catherine, you're on the air. Thanks for waiting.
Yes. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
I'm very nervous, but I needed to call in because I'm really appalled by the callers and their lack of empathy. This is a nation that was built on slave labor, slaughter, and grief. It's a racist nation and a sexist nation. And the will to dominate by white men is just, it's just stunning. The men who have called in, and women too, but the men who have called in and used this topic as an excuse to say that word, have used this topic as an excuse to exert their dominance, is just horrifying to me. Did anybody really hear Lula when she said, "Walk in my shoes"?
I heard her.
Well, but you are still insisting on your right to use a verbally abusive word as you wish.
No,
why in the world?
No, not as I wish. Not if I'm going to call somebody that word in a negative. I don't think I should be.
Well, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, as a woman, you may never use the C word. Never, ever, ever in any context. You do not have the right as a man to use the C word. So Lula has the right to tell you that you may not use the N word.
She does have
you
the right.
You are a white man, and you have no idea. I have listened to you. I kept turning off the radio. Then I would turn it back on. And as far as sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can really hurt me. All verbal, all abuse, including war, begins with verbal abuse. All abuse and violence, including war, begin with verbal abuse. This is a white supremacist nation, and we have to change that. It has to be changed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, you didn't sound very nervous to me. Thank you.
Well,
for calling.
I am.
Saturday,
I'm shaking. It's really hard to speak out, but people who feel the way I do need to speak out, even if your voice shakes, even if you're afraid. It's just, I know there are people listening to this program who appreciate what I'm saying.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that's true.
And you know what? I'm calling on those of you who agree with me, please, to speak out, because this is so wrong. It is morally and ethically wrong, this discussion, the tack that it took.
Okay. And we have 7 more minutes remaining in the program.
Okay.
If people
want to
speak out, thank you.
I'll turn it back on.
Thank you very much for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Catherine in Santa Cruz. Here's Kelly in Watsonville. Kelly, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've been listening to, I have a little bit of an education. It wasn't until I got to college that the courses I started taking started. I used to be racist. I used to be anti-Semitic. I used to be homophobic. It wasn't until, and I went to like a public prep school on the East Coast. So it wasn't until I got to college that these mentalities started diminishing. And it didn't happen overnight. I wasn't brought up racist or any of those other things. It's just that what I began to learn was that language is the most powerful shaper and influencer of people's minds. And what the one caller said about, you know, it's just words, blah, 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 that's true. But it takes a mentality, and it takes a learned mentality to to be able to dismiss words, and it also takes a mentality to not accept and use that language. I moved to Florida to live with my dad, or be with my dad, Naples, Florida, very, very rich community.
Oh,
and
yes.
I was appalled at how easily those people use that word. Okay, now, MZ, you're Jewish, right?
Yes.
Okay, wait, let me back up a second. The language that we're talking about is language of the oppressor, okay? Now, for other callers have talked about how black people use it too. Well, they shouldn't. They shouldn't either. But again, it takes a mentality that you reach, that you attain, where you decide and make a conscious decision not to engage in that language. Now, MZ, I don't think you meant any harm using that whatever last week, but it's going to strike a nerve with many people. The form that you're using to tell jokes, I don't think that's okay, just because it reinforces people's beliefs and ideologies that may already be negative and uneducated or whatever. You're Jewish. Are you okay with people using the K word?
You mean kike?
That word, yeah.
It depends on the context. If it's said in a malicious and mean-spirited way, absolutely not. I'm very, very offended.
Okay.
But if it's said as a joke, if it's something just sort of making light of life, so the bleep what? It's
okay.
Just no big deal, Kelly.
And I think that's a mentality. I think that's a mentality one obtains through life experience, higher education,
yeah.
Talking,
and I
like
don't
this.
Know. I have no idea how long I'm going to live, but I think I'm going to, I like to think I'm going to live a little longer because I refuse to get uptight over minutia. Okay.
Right.
So anyhow,
good.
Hey, thanks for your call. We've only got a few minutes left, and
okay.
We got a couple
thank
other calls.
Much.
And I want to thank our sponsor, California Grill Restaurant in Watsonville, corner of Freedom Boulevard and Airport Boulevards, in the Freedom Shopping Center. Great organic food, wonderful portions, homemade everything, just wonderful. And when you go in and try and not take my word for it, you know, order the salad dressing with the Italian salad dressing with chunks of tangy tomatoes in it. That was originated by the chef at the old Adolph's restaurant in Santa Cruz. They've got that chef, they got the recipes, and everything at that restaurant is absolutely fantastic. When you go in, tell them, please, be sure to thank them for sponsoring Saturday Special on KSCO, your favorite radio station, where Annalise is about to call. I mean, is about to go on the air. Hi, Annalise, you're on.
Hello. I wanted to speak to the issue that seems to be so prevalent. As you know, that you've had this problem with my word radio, which I never understood why people go running, screaming across the room whenever that is heard. It is not an unusual word. But why, MZ, would you make such an issue of it? And also then to say, well, I don't have a sense of humor when you don't know me at all. I have a huge question.
Oh, my God. Annalise, you're the person.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Here. We have to put Annalise on hold, because once again, she is obsessed with me thinking that she is humorless, which she is. She's obsessed. But so what? You're going to get through life fine, Annalise. If MZ continues to think you're humorless, which you are, you're going to be fine. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to stress over it. It's no big deal. Let it go. Okay, now our final call for the day is going to be our good friend Nick in Royal Oaks, who's been waiting a long time. Nick, you're on.
I want to get to Paula Deen, but before, until you stop the word, the abuse, you cannot erase the name. I've got a dictionary on my lap, and I'm a 1943, it does not take away a vulgar and commonly contemptuous. Those are C words.
Yes.
Michael,
that's not the C word that the lady was talking about. It starts with C, it ends with T, and it's got a U and an N in the middle.
I know, well, vulgar is close to it. Under the word niggardly, I want to read it.
No, no, niggardly has nothing to do with race or black
people. Well, I know,
people.
But my book does not say anything about...
Okay, by the
about,
way, Nick, this is so terrible. Do you have the that's all, folks, Aaron? Because we got to get the that's all, folks. We got to get that running here. Okay, just start running that, and we'll go off with that in
and
the background.
And Paul said
here,
it like a poop.
Yeah, all right, there we go. KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It is 12 noon. Here is CBS News. See you next week.
Derailed train cars carrying crude oil exploding. Radio reporter Shoy Yi Lee is there.
The tankers still on their side, red hot, under pressure, still risks of explosion. So they're still trying to contain this thing.
The train parked outside of the town of Lac-Mégantic. Its engineer leaving the train to wait for a replacement, and somehow, officials say, it got released and hurtled driverless toward the picturesque village. Sergeant Greg Gomez del Prado, Quebec Provincial Police.
The train was going through the heart of the town, near residences, near stores. Of course, there are going to be many buildings that are going to be affected by the explosion, by the fire. And we do fear right now they're going to be casualties.
About 1,000 people evacuated. No fatalities confirmed. Thomas Blanchette is a spokesman for Public Safety Quebec.
There is a 10 fire department in action. We have a fire department from the United States.
The town is just across the main border, so firefighters on the U.S. side are pitching in. Mohamed El-Baradei, the well-known player in Egyptian politics, taking the reins of government there. Al Jazeera English reporter Shireen Tadros is in Cairo.
There are lots of challenges ahead of this man right now. Chief amongst them is to form some sort of cabinet, some government that will be acceptable.
Ousted President Mohamed Morsi remains in military custody. In cities across Egypt, his supporters are clashing with opponents and the military. Dozens of deaths reported. Secrets leaker Edward Snowden, weighing asylum offers from several Latin American countries, still believed to be holed up in a Moscow airport transit lounge. Here's CBS's Wyatt Andrews.
U.S. authorities are clearly trying to find a way to nab Snowden should he leave the transit lounge of the Moscow airport. The Russians, however, have made it clear they want him to leave, and so the presumption is that they will find a way to get him out of the airport and probably transit Havana on his way to either Managua, Nicaragua, or Caracas, Venezuela.
Or to Bolivia. Its president says Snowden is welcome there, too. North and South Korean officials holding talks seeking a way to reopen a jointly run industrial zone. Reporter Jason Strother is in Seoul.
Both Koreas have a vested interest in reopening the Kaesong Joint Industrial Complex. For the South Korean owners of the 120 factories there, the facility offers the cheapest labor on the peninsula. They employ around 53,000 North Korean workers. For Pyongyang, Kaesong pumps millions of dollars into its economy each year.
Pamplona.
Thousands of people wearing traditional white clothes with red sashes packed into downtown Pamplona Saturday morning. Nearly everyone was drenched in sangria. Under a shower of confetti, the town's mayor then set off several fireworks, which signaled the start of the festivities. The first bull run is scheduled for Sunday morning through the town's narrow streets and to its bull ring.
That's Steve Dorsey. This is CBS News.
This is an important message for all hardworking Americans. Not long ago, Michael Parnas was living on a park bench in New York City. Fast forward to 2008, he took a few thousand dollars, and in less than 8 months, eight of the worst trading months in stock market history, Michael made close to $4 million. He cracked the stock market's code and discovered the insider trends that your broker doesn't want you to know. So he is giving you his Power Trading, Power Living book and DVD to help take the mystery out of the market, break down the trades and trends you need to know, and show you how he went from a park bench to Park Avenue for free. Just pay shipping. Michael has never stopped believing that regular hardworking people can make money in the stock market. A lot of money. In fact, Michael is convinced power trading can work for you too. That's why he's giving you his book and DVD for free. Call Michael now at 1-800-845-2417 and claim your free copy. Call 1-800-845-2417. That's 1-800-845-2417. Trading carries a high level of risk and may not be suitable for everyone.
You know that adding a teenage driver to your car insurance will raise your rates, but do you know by how much? CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
When married couples add teen drivers to auto insurance policies, their rates go up an average of 84%, according to a new report by InsuranceQuotes.com. Premiums rise more for boys than girls and for 16-year-olds compared to other age groups. Where you live matters. Rates shoot up the most in Arkansas, Utah, Wyoming, and Alabama. The least in Hawaii, the only state where insurance rates can't be based on drivers' ages. Otherwise, North Carolina, New York, and Massachusetts are the best places for parents to have teen drivers coverage-wise.
All but three of the 39 injured in a California fireworks display mishap out of the hospital now. Police in Simi Valley say it looks like one firework exploded prematurely, knocking over the others and aiming them across the field at spectators. Fire investigators say they still have not yet determined a cause. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
To 1205, today is Saturday, July 6th, 2013. Aaron Shore here with your local King of the Hill traffic and Central Coast weather. We have an accident on Highway 117th, just past the summit, heading toward in Los Gatos. Looks like there was a motorcycle accident. No further details on this incident at this time. Expect delays through Monte Sereno through up to near in Campbell. Your Central Coast weather forecast for this afternoon is continuing clouds, patch of fog early in the morning, highs around 70, light winds becoming southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. It is currently 61 degrees at your local KSCOA.